So we were talking about triple negative disease, and I see you have a 35-year-old woman who presented with T2N1 triple negative breast cancer. What happened there?
Yes, so T2 disease, young woman, relatively small breast. So that plus the fact that she was N1, we elected to proceed with pre-op therapy.
She had palpable nodes or ultrasound or what?
Palpable.
How big?
Yes. Only about 1 centimeter, but clearly abnormal on physical exam. So she received dose-dense ACT. During that time, she did have panel testing, and she tested negative for hereditary predisposition genes. And we saw her back at the end of her chemotherapy. She'd had a good clinical response. The axilla was now clinically negative. I could no longer feel the palpable lymph node. And the tumor in the breast had also shrunk quite nicely, but on MR imaging, there was still evidence that she probably was going to have some residual disease there. But she certainly became a good candidate for breast conservation therapy, so we performed a lumpectomy, we performed sentinel lymph node mapping, and in this situation, when patients start out N1, we do mandate the use of dual tracer, both blue dye and isotope, to increase our likelihood of not only identifying the nodes, but also to decrease the false negative rate. We also, in this setting, we as a group have mandated that we need to identify 3 true sentinel lymph nodes and that all of those sentinel lymph nodes need to be negative for us to avoid dissection. There's a lot of discussion about this, again, in the community about making sure that we minimize the false negative rate. And we know from the clinical trial ACOZOG Z1071, Centina, and others that the identification of at least 3 sentinel nodes was associated with a much lower false negative rate than when fewer sentinel nodes were removed. So we use dual tracer. We ensure that we've identified 3 nodes. In this case, we did. And on intraoperative analysis, her nodes were negative, so we did not do a dissection. Her final pathology, though, came back with about 5 millimeters of residual disease in the breast and a micromet in one of those 3 sentinel lymph nodes. And so this raises, again, the question of what is the importance of low-volume residual disease micromets in the sentinel node after preoperative therapy. And that's prognostically different than finding a micromet in the upfront surgery setting. In the upfront surgery setting, that micromet truly is low-volume disease, and we know that it doesn't impact long-term outcomes. But after preoperative therapy, that micromet is the residual disease. It was bigger, it was a macromet, and now what's left is a micromet. And so we return those patients to the operating room for lymph node dissection unless they're on clinical trial, where the clinical trial that was open was the Alliance trial, which randomized patients with still having positive nodes to axillary radiotherapy versus axillary dissection. But outside of a clinical trial, we feel very strongly that patients with any residual disease after preoperative therapy need an axillary node dissection. So we went back, dissected her axilla, and removed an additional 12 nodes. And overall, she ended up having 2 out of 12 nodes that were positive. So again, here's a patient that important to identify that residual disease. We know that capecitabine in this setting is used quite frequently for patients with residual disease. And so making sure that as surgeons that we are optimizing our technique for sentinel node in this setting, we're identifying that residual disease and that we are managing it appropriately and helping our medical oncology colleagues make those subsequent treatment decisions.